Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, June 5th, 2022, Romans.
Good catch. Randy and Dodie just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and Dodie stomped all over his foot, and now he can't walk.
8 years.
But he's got crutches, so if you all don't sing, he'll hit you with his crutches. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God first of all. We are going to be all through the word of God this morning. Romans chapter 4. And we are in a paragraph with one of the greatest believers in the Old Testament scriptures, Abraham. In fact, one of the passages we're going to see prior to the resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ at the right hand of the Father, when believers died, guess where they went? To Abraham's side. Unbelievers died, went to torments. So he had a very magnificent place of honor in those times. We're going to be looking at the rich man and Lazarus. One's a believer and one's an unbeliever. In preparation to worship our Lord, we give you a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship with you in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 4, in verse 16, we see Abraham as the pattern for the whole human race, the pattern for salvation. Romans 4:16. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith, faith in Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace. so that the promise of salvation may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham, not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews, who believe in Jesus Christ, but also to the ones who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentiles, who believe in Christ. He, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, Jews and Gentiles. So Abraham is the pattern for salvation for the whole human race. Abraham is also the pattern for spiritual maturity for those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. After verse 16, verses 17 to 21 is the great parenthesis. And in the great parenthesis, we have Abraham as a spiritually mature believer. In fact, Abraham and Sarah. Her name originally was Sarai, contentious. The Lord changed her name to Sarah, princess. I'm sure you'd rather be called princess than contentious. And we have Abraham and Sarah as spiritually mature believers. You have to understand what takes you from salvation to spiritual maturity is spirituality. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the universal indwelling of the Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. They didn't have the unique spiritual life. So spirituality in the Old Testament was different. It was the faith rest life. But that was spirituality. And Abraham and Sarah had maximum faith rest life. They knew the promises of God's word. They knew the word of God. They had maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the promises of God, maximum confidence in the word of God. And as a result, they advanced, reached spiritual maturity, and God was free to pour out on them their greater grace blessings. And that greater grace blessing for them was fantastic sexual prosperity. The ability to procreate after the age of 99 for Abraham and Sarah had passed the menopause. But when God gave them the promise, they had maximum confidence in God. They were in a hopeless situation, but they had a maximum confidence in the Lord, maximum faith rest life. So we have in verse 17, we've only exegeted the first verse in this great parenthesis. Verse 17 sounds like this. As it stands written, a quotation from Genesis 17, verse 5, I have made you a father of many nations, before the Lord, whom he, Abraham, believed, maximum faith rest function, maximum spirituality as a believer. Even God, who gave life to the sexually dead ones, both Abraham and Sarah, and has called what did not exist, the ability to have children, as now existing. That was verse 17. Abraham and Sarah are both spiritually mature believers when we see them in Romans 4, 17 to 21. They are both occupied with Jesus Christ. They both love the Lord Jesus Christ. They both love the Word of God. And they have maximum spirituality. They are living the faith rest life. They are both in a totally helpless and hopeless situation. They are both in the status of sexual death. And we are in the process of studying the doctrine of death in the Bible. It's a very fantastic doctrine. There are actually 8 different categories of death in the Word of God. And we've only studied, we're partway through 3 of those categories of death. But they are both in a totally helpless and hopeless situation. They are in sexual death. It's impossible for them to have children. And God has given them a promise. He's promised them that they will both be made sexually alive, be able to procreate, and be able to have children. As believers in spiritual maturity, God And the promises of the Word of God are more real to Abraham and Sarah than their impossible circumstances and situation. And we saw that in the New Testament in the chapter on the Old Testament heroes, Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. As spiritually mature believers, they have total confidence in the grace and in the power of God. As you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God becomes more real to you than the problems and the circumstances of life. And this is why it's so important. The greatest thing you will ever do is what you're doing right now. Assembling in a Bible teaching church, a sound Bible teaching church. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Because we are living in times of apostasy in the United States of America. And every day you see it again and again and again and over again. And that's why this spiritual life that God has given to you, the ability to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the opportunity to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and have personal love for God the Father. In other words, maximum confidence in God during these times. Maximum confidence in the Word of God during these times in America right now. Maximum confidence in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can make Himself at home in your heart when you reach spiritual maturity. And you can fellowship with Him moment by moment, day by day. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, or in Nevada, or Las Vegas, or your marriage, or your family, or at work. As you grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God becomes more real to you than the problems and circumstances of life. When Abraham and Sarah reached spiritual maturity, God spoke and gave them this fantastic promise. God promised them the full recovery of their powers of procreation, and this resulted in fantastic sexual prosperity and Abraham becoming the father of many nations. Well, that's the first verse 17 in this great parenthesis. But we've stopped to take a look at the doctrine of death. The Greek word for death is thanatos. There are 8 different categories of death in the Scriptures. And we've just got started on this. Category number 1 in the death is spiritual death. And this is the spiritual death of the entire human race. It occurs at the moment we come into the world, at the moment of physical birth. Spiritual death occurs at the moment of physical birth. At physical birth, the entire human race is born physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death. Spiritual death is perpetuated in the human race through physical birth. The solution to spiritual death is stated in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We obtain spiritual death at the moment of physical birth. Spiritual death is resolved at the moment of spiritual birth, regeneration, being born again through faith in Christ, solving the problem of spiritual death. Spiritual death is the subject of 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, spiritual death, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Spiritual death means that at physical birth, man is born dichotomous. We come into the world with a body and a soul, But we are spiritually dead. We have no human spirit. This means we cannot understand the gospel or anything about God apart from the grace and power of God. Spiritual death means the status of total depravity. Spiritual death means total separation from God. We are totally helpless to do anything about it apart from the grace and the power of God. And that includes the common grace ministry. That's the theological term. I hate that term, common grace. I know it's for the whole human race, but I call it spectacular grace, not the common grace. The common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit enables man to understand the gospel. Every time the gospel is given to anyone, God the Holy Spirit goes inside and turns the light on so that he can see the issue of salvation. Every time the gospel is given to the unbeliever, he sees through the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit the issue of salvation, how he can have a personal relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And that is amazing. That is spectacular grace. But I'm not going to change theology, and it's common grace. The common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit enables man to understand the gospel. The efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit takes the believer's faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and makes it effective for eternal salvation. That's the first category of death we studied. Spiritual death. Category number two we study was positional death. The positional death of the believer. While spiritual death occurs at physical birth, positional death occurs at spiritual birth. The moment of regeneration, being born again through faith in Christ. Positional death occurs through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation, where the believer is identified with Christ in his death and burial and resurrection, and that is the subject of Romans chapter 6, and we are motating, we'll be there soon. Unless the rapture occurs, or you all die before we get there. Anyway. Romans 6, 1 through 5. Positional death is also called retroactive positional truth. This is the believer's identification with Christ in his death and burial and resurrection. Category number three, we just got started. We got started and studied the first four points of carnal death. Carnal death of the believer, or cosmic death. The carnal death of the believer deals with three categories of failure in your life: post-salvation sinning, post-salvation human good. You have to realize we all have a sin nature. You don't have to live your life by it. If you live your life by it, you're living in darkness in Satan's cosmic system. Did you know that that's what your sin nature looks like? It looks like a baseball diamond, see? There is an area of weakness, and that area of weakness produces sin. That comes from the sin nature. It also has an area of strength, and that produces human good dead works. So you have a sin nature. When you get out of fellowship with God, sometimes your sin nature operates up here primarily. Sometimes it operates down here, or a combination. So carnal death of the believer deals with three categories of failure: post-salvation sinning, from the area of weakness of your sin nature; post-salvation human good, from the area of strength of your sin nature; post-salvation evil. Two, we noted that carnal death of the believer is the subject of Ephesians 5:14, which says, "Wake up! Wake up, O sleeper! Rise from the dead." That the dead there is carnal death. You rise from carnal death by using God's fantastic grace provision. God has given us all these wonderful problem-solving devices, and in many ways, perhaps the most important of all those problem-solving devices is rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you rise from carnal death. Of Ephesians 5:14. Wake up! You're out of fellowship with God. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're living under interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. You're walking in darkness. And you have no spiritual life. Our life is too short here on this earth. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. Redeem the time. You got to keep short accounts with God. We all sin. We all have a sin nature and a free will. We all sin. You got to keep short accounts with God. You sin, rebound. Get back into fellowship. But there are more and more Christians that sin. They get out of fellowship with God. They're now living in Satan's cosmic system. And that's where they live their life. They're believers in Jesus Christ. They won't lose their salvation. They'll be in heaven forever. They will lose out on all greater grace blessing for time and all greater grace blessing for eternity, but they won't lose their salvation. But they will go from warning discipline to intensive discipline to dying discipline, the sin unto death. And unfortunately, there are lots and lots of Christians that is their life. That's their MO. And when you're in carnal death, you're the walking dead. Oh, you're alive physically. You're walking around. You'll smile at people, kind of like the clown, you know. It's got the smile on his face, but crying inside. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're like the clown. They might smile at you, but inside, they're crying. They're going from warning discipline to intensive discipline to dying discipline. The carnal death of the believer, point three, may also be classified in three ways as temporal death, which describes the believer out of fellowship with God, cosmic death, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, fragmented death, the believer involved in either moral or immoral degeneracy. And then point four, and we closed looking at these scriptures, carnal death is described in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, James 1:15, 1 Timothy 5:6, Revelation 3:1, Romans 8:6, Romans 8:13, 1 John 3:14. We looked at all those passages last Sunday. If you weren't here, see Al or one of the deacons and they'll get you the class. And so you can go through all of these passages on carnal death. Now that brings us to point five in carnal death. The believer who is positive to Bible doctrine. There's only why do you come to a local church? You come to worship the Lord. There's only two things, kind of like the Magi when the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that first Christmas. The Magi traveled this tremendous distance to worship the King. And they brought gifts. Well, if there's only two gifts you need to bring when you assemble in Upland Bible Church or any sound doctrinal church. The gift of humility, which is respect for the authority of God and His Word and the pastor who teaches it, and the gift of positive volition. That's all you have to do. Bring the gifts of positive volition and humility. You bring that, well, you are a believer who is going to advance. You're going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You're going to reach spiritual maturity. You're going to become an invisible hero. You're going to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You're going to glorify God to the maximum in your life here in time. And that's why you're here. If I were to put it down just one sentence, You're here to glorify God. That's why you're here. Now, you're not going to glorify God if you're living in carnal death. You're not going to glorify God if you're living in the cosmic system, in darkness. The spiritual life is light. God is light. Spiritual life is light. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. So the believer who is positive to the Word of God and has humility, he understands how to recover from carnal death. He knows the problem-solving device of rebound, and like I said, in many ways, this may be the most important of all. And he uses it. The positive believer keeps short accounts with God. He rebounds, gets back in fellowship with God, and then he keeps on. He gets up and keeps on advancing to spiritual maturity to obtain that objective. And the ultimate objective is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. 6, the negative believer, on the other hand, continues under the control of the sin nature and continues to live in Satan's cosmic system. So he is in the status of death while he lives. The negative believer is an illustration of the walking dead. The negative believer will be put to shame at the judgment seat of Christ. He will lose out on all greater grace blessings, privileges, crowns, rewards. He is the walking dead. 7, the believer who spends his life in carnal death usually dies physically from maximum divine discipline. The believer who spends his life in carnal death usually dies physically from maximum divine discipline. And there have been believers that have come really close to that point, and then they come to their senses and rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and then they... Enough is enough. You get to that point in your soul, you just say to yourself, "Dadgummit!" I don't know if you've ever said "Dadgummit" to yourself or not. "Dadgummit, enough is enough." That's it. You acknowledge your sins to God, you get back into fellowship, you get out of the cosmic system. That's over. I am here to serve you, sir. I'm here to honor you. I'm here to glorify you. You call the shots. You're the quarterback. You call the plays. You're the potter. I'm the clay. I'm here to do your will and execute your plan and your purpose for my life. Now that brings us to category number 4. Category number 4 is called dead works. Production mortality of the believer. Dead works. First of all, this can also be classified as operational death. Operational death or dead works. Hebrews 6 verse 1. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Anybody here that doesn't have a Bible? Anybody doesn't have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Okay. If you don't have a Bible, you get one free. It's grace, but we'll send you the bill. No, I don't. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, the Messiah, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. So, this is operational death, dead works. 2, Dead works are all the production of human good performed outside of the spiritual life. This is human good, dead works produced from the sin nature. Remember, your sin nature has an area of weakness that produces personal sin, has an area of strength that produces human good, dead works. So dead works are all the production of human good performed outside of the spiritual life. There's no filling of, this is not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. We have this unique spiritual life. It only operates on God's power. You got to have divine power. The power to live the spiritual life is the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in your heart. We are commanded to keep on being empowered or filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. We're commanded to keep on walking, living by the agency of the Spirit. And that's Galatians 5:16. 3. Human good dead works are produced by the area of strength of the sin nature. Human good dead works are produced by the area of strength of the sin nature. Turn over to Romans 8:8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. See, we're in Romans 4, we'll be in Romans 8 soon. Hey, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. Who was moaning? Was that the Magnum moaning? Or? Romans 8:8. Those controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. Those controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. And the sin nature has an area of strength that produces human good dead works, but it's not from the fruit of the Spirit. It's not from being motivated by the filling of the Spirit or the Word of God in your heart. It's human good dead works from the area of strength of the sin nature. 4. Works produced by the believer living in the cosmic system are dead works. Works produced by the believer living in the cosmic system are dead works. However, point 5, divine good production is the result of the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. It's the result of the filling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. In Galatians 5:16, walking, living your life by the agency of the Spirit of God. It's the result of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any Machaira, the super weapon of the ancient world. And so, divine good production is the result of the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Spiritual skill number 1, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number 2, the Word of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. 6. Anything related to the old sin nature and the cosmic system is outside of the plan of God. Anything related to the old sin nature and the cosmic system is outside of the plan of God, including the production performed by the sin nature and living in the cosmic system. Anything related to the sin nature and the cosmic system is outside of the plan of God, including the production performed by the sin nature and living in the cosmic system. We got a lot of Christians in America today. The sad thing is, most of them are living in the cosmic system. They're living by the power of their sin nature. It's sad. Church churches today are a major problem in America, for the most part. There are a few exceptions, but they're getting fewer all the time. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, there were some magnificent men with the gift of pastor-teacher. And they were oriented to grace and truth and the importance of the Word of God. I went to the class, there were two classes ahead of me. There was a big group. A lot of the men that were being ordained for the ministry were with me in Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington. Pastor Ron Breckel was the pastor there. And when I went, why, here was about, I don't know, 7-8 guys being ordained for the ministry. Most of them were from Bethany Bible Church. And I wanted to be there and just see. And those men were fantastic. Bruce Einsbar was there. Todd Kennedy was there. And these men were ordained. And then Bruce Einsbar went back to Washington, the Tri-Cities area, as a Bible pastor of a church there. Todd Kennedy went to Spokane. My mother and family up in Spokane all became a part of that church. Excellent Bible teaching. Communicating grace and truth. But Todd has stepped down from the ministry. Bruce has stepped down from the ministry. Pastor Breckel is in heaven. And, well, more and more. They're great, wonderful Bible teachers. Andy Todd is in heaven. More and more, they're either in heaven or retired. And then you got cripples like me, still here by the grace and power of God. But I'm not the only cripple now. Man, this is going to be fun to see if he's going to lead singing or not. I don't know how he's going to do this, but you know, he won't have a, he just hold his crutch up. No, there are a few. There are a few, but they're getting fewer all the time where grace and truth is taught. The church in America, for the most part, is dead, and it's the problem. Christians are living in the cosmic system. They don't even know they're living in the cosmic system. So anything related to the sin nature in the cosmic system is outside of the plan of God, including the production performed by the sin nature in living in the cosmic system. 7, all works and production of the believer living in the cosmic system are dead works, and they will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll be burned up. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And when Colonel Thieme was alive and holding Bible, he held 2 Bible conferences in California every year. I was at every single Bible conference that he had. And at one of the Bible conferences, this was a passage he taught. In fact, I think he ended with this. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, that's divine good. That's the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's the production of a winner believer, spiritually mature believer. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Then we have wood, hay, or straw. That's the production of a believer living in the cosmic system. And it, one thing about gold, silver, and precious stones, fire just makes it better. Wood, hay, and straw burns up, it's gone. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day is the judgment seat of Christ, the evaluation of all members of the royal family of God. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Is it divine good production that will remain? Or is it human good production from living in the cosmic system and is burned up? The fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has, if what he has built survives divine good production, gold, silver, precious stones, he will receive his reward, crowns and rewards, at the judgment seat of Christ. But if it is burned up, wood, hay, and straw, the human good dead works of the believer living in the cosmic system, he will suffer loss. Loss of blessing in time, loss of greater grace blessing for all eternity. He won't lose his salvation. You can't do that. You have eternal security. But he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And then the colonel. And he cited this person he knew. He was an Air Force pilot. And he got, his plane got hit and was coming down. It was landing in the jungle. You don't land in the jungle, you crash in the jungle. And as he came down, he hit a tree. One wing was ripped off, the other wing was ripped off. He hit the ground, the front of the plane was ripped off, the canopy was ripped off, the tail was ripped off. All that was left was him. It was on fire. And he crawled out and he had black all over his face. No eyebrows. All the hair in his nose and ears was gone. And then the colonel said, "And that's exactly how some of you are going to wind up in heaven." Well, it's all described right here. Only as one escaping through the flames. You don't want to wind up in heaven that way. You don't have to. You got a free will, for God's sake. All you have to do is bring two gifts. Humility and positive volition. When you come to worship the King, that's it. So eight... all Christian production will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And category 5 is sexual death, and that's what we're studying. Romans 4, 17 to 21, Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. And so we're not going to go into that right now. We'll be studying that for the next few Sundays. And that brings us to category 6, and category 6 is physical death, and we will take that up next time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have the Lord's table.